Hey, it's Ben and Kelly. Today on the podcast, he's a terrible cook. She doesn't know how to tell him that.
I mean, how you crush dreams without hurting their feelings, right?
And you're going to get to learn the answer to this.
I took a huge bite out of the cactus plant.
Like, what? Seriously, what?
Yeah, and then she's divorced, and she's wanting her kids to accept the new boyfriend.
That's always tricky.
Yeah, navigating all that. Setting the bar stories and more.
Enjoy the podcast.
Ben and Kelly.
You had an adventure this past weekend, right?
Sure did. Got back last night.
You went to Tennessee?
Went to Knoxville.
Yeah, okay.
There was a basketball tournament.
Yeah, your son had a basketball tournament. How'd he do?
Yeah, they got to the championship game and lost. But they,
not bad.
They, out of five games, they won all four, weren't undefeated till the championship game, and then kind of the wagon wheels fell off. But it was a good run all the way through. So
nice.
A lot of fun. But we rolled in at like 11:45 at night on Friday. And they had won in double overtime in the first game. We had to miss the first game because he had to sing at graduation, and we hopped in the car and went straight there. And so they were like, met the team parents in the lobby, and they were like schnockered.
Oh, they're already drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And telling us about the whole game. And then, yeah, and they played out of like, I want to say the three out of the four games getting up to the championship game were like nail biters.
Mm.
Double overtime, a couple we won by like 2 points. And then one we won pretty handily and got to the championship game, and it was like, everything fell off. So everything fell apart, but it was a good run. It was fun. And then we got back last night. I'm tired.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't do it as much anymore, but like, you know, when all three of my daughters were in Irish dance, and I mean, it was like, you know, traveling just about every single weekend to a different city. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool because you get to explore some cities that you don't normally have an excuse to go to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be, you know, the competition would be like early on Saturday morning. So you'd have to get there on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there'd be like double competition weekends where it would travel into Sunday, and then you'd be getting back. I mean, the same as you, man.
Yeah.
Coming back in on a Sunday night and then starting everything back up. And it's almost like you need like a weekend after your weekend to just decompress a little bit. Yeah,
that's,
I get it.
Exactly. Now, the good thing is we didn't have any morning games. They were like 2 o'clock games. So, I mean, the boys, we were up to like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was crazy.
Yeah. You getting drunk, like, having partying and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, no. But yeah, the boys, like, they would, and they had a really cool square up there, very within walking distance, like kind of it's a market street where they had some live performers out there in the street. They had a lot of places that were open. So like the coach walked the boys to McDonald's at like, you know, 1:30 in the morning.
Nice.
Like, yeah. Cause I'm looking on Life 360. I'm like, hey, where are you? He's like, oh, we're going to go to McDonald's. I'm like, no, you're not. Get back in the hotel. He's like, oh, coach is with us. Okay. That's great.
Yeah. You know, team bonding, it's all good.
It's team bonding, Mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of late nights.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, the thing with, you know, at least the culture amongst the Irish dance is, I mean, these competitions, they have the bars set up at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, there are,
it's for the parents thing.
There are parents just getting ripped before lunch.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, all right, I mean, if you're staying at the hotel that the event is happening at and everything, and literally you're just camped there for the entire weekend.
Yeah, everything was walking distance.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
It was fun. It was fun, but yeah. Tired.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But you know, it happens fast, and at some point in your life you're going to look back on these crazy weekends and go, "Man, I look fondly upon those times because
Yeah. Because we got to go to Bucky's. How fun is that?
I know. That is a nice little treat.
It's
a nice little treat when you're driving by, you're like, "Well, you know what? I don't necessarily need gas, but I could probably fill up. I could probably fill up and get something."
On the way there, I think we spent a good 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you got to check out all the merch.
Well, that
merch,
and I had to get
strong.
I had to get my dog a Bucky's leash and a Bucky's shirt.
Yes,
so,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Where else are you going to get that other than Buc-ee's?
Exactly.
All right, let's do some jokes.
Whoever laughs first loses. It's You Laugh, You Lose with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Trumpets mean it's time for You Laugh, You Lose, the game where Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. It's all for this fun You Laugh, You Lose trophy I've got in my hand. Kelly, I feel like you're on a winning streak, so... Losers.
I have been on a streak, so yes, you are still in the loser's lane, sir.
Yeah, losers go first. That's me. Kelly, what happens to an illegally parked frog?
It gets towed.
So you laugh, you lose.
That's where we're starting. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Why do we say slept like a baby? Like, babies wake up crying every 2 hours, wanting to eat. I want to sleep like a cat. Cats sleep 14 hours, no responsibilities, zero regrets.
You're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, what do you call it when you accidentally sneeze on your tortilla chips?
What do you call it when you accidentally sneeze on your tortilla chips?
Snachos.
Tasty.
Or nachos.
First one was better.
Snachos.
Snachos, yes. Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Why is there always a shop selling luggage at the airport?
Why?
Like, who is going on vacation carrying armfuls of clothes saying, I'll pack when we get there? Like, I'm seriously asking. Why?
Oh, okay. More observational humor here.
Yes.
Gotcha. Hey, Kelly, did you know that Vin Diesel, you know Vin Diesel, right?
Vin Diesel. I've seen him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, Vin Diesel only eats 2 meals a day.
Oh.
Yeah. Breakfast.
Yes.
And Breakfurious.
Yes. Good
that,
one.
That is a reference.
Yes.
To a franchise.
Throw it back. There's many movies. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
You know when your kids ask where mom is?
Yeah.
That's kid version of, I'd like to speak to your supervisor. I'm going straight above your pay grade.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Hey, Kelly, what's the best meal to eat while watching Law and Order?
What is the best meal to eat while watching Law and Order?
Din din.
Good one.
Din din.
Yes. Does that sound?
Yes.
The show starts.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Ben.
Yes.
You know you're over 40 when you have upstairs ibuprofen and downstairs ibuprofen.
Okay.
True statement. Also bathroom ibuprofen.
Mm.
Pretty much in every room there's a bottle.
Yes. Hey, Kelly, I watched a fascinating documentary.
Did you?
Yeah. About the perfume industry last night.
The perfume industry.
Yeah. It was on the history Chanel. Or could you say Chanel number 5?
It could.
It was on Chanel number 5.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm so old that I've loaded film into a Kodak camera, waiting a week to find out if my thumb was actually in it. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. You see, you have to develop your film.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you always had to do that.
So hard to keep your thumb.
After you took every shot, yes.
Out of the... Hey, Kelly, a little squirrel asked his dad how he's so good at calculating jumps between the trees.
Yes.
Yes.
Valid question.
Yeah, he said, simple, son. It's twigonometry.
Twigonometry, indeed. Squirrel math, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ben, things I'm no longer interested in.
Okay.
Driving at night, leaving mm-hmm. my house at night, driving mm-hmm. in the winter, leaving the house in the winter, driving, leaving the house.
Okay, just leaving the house, got it. Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Three guys stranded on a desert island. They find mm-hmm. a lamp, right?
Yeah.
First guy rubs it. Genie pops out, says, I want to go home. Genie's like, gotcha, man. Second guy's like, all right, I want to go home. Genie's like, fam, got you. Third guy goes to the genie. I'm kind of lonely. I want my friends back. Got you, fam.
Oh, dang it. Oh, dang it. He just took away his buddy's wishes.
He did.
Wow. Hey, Ben.
Yes.
Guy says, my wife was sleeping peacefully. Got up, put on my pants, dressed quietly, made my lunch, slipped mm-hmm. quietly into the garage, hooked the boat to my pickup, backed out into a torrential downpour.
Oh, my gosh.
The wind was also blowing 80 miles an hour on top of the rain. So pulled back into the garage, turned on the radio, and the weatherman said, yep, the weather's going to be bad all day. Uh-huh. Unhooked the boat, went back in the house, quietly undressed, slipped back into bed. With aspirations having nothing to do with fishing, I snuggled up to my wife's warm backside, kissed her on the neck, and whispered, the weather out there is terrible. She replied, I know. Can you believe that stupid husband of mine is out there fishing and all this crap?
Oh! Wow! Wow. All right, I'll take it, even if it's a pity laugh from you. Little cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater there.
That's a good one. Yeah, I know my stupid husband's fishing.
Yeah,
right
dumb
now.
Husband right there. I can't believe it. All right, there you go. I'm taking the trophy back. It's You Laugh, You Lose here on the Big 997 DJX.
That was a good one.
This is Setting the Bar Story, Kelly, which is
an example of what not to do.
Look, time and a place to do just about anything, right?
Okay.
This is neither the time nor the place because it's a Setting the Bar Story. So if you can manage to make it through the day without taking off all your clothes and dancing around when you're supposed to be working, you're doing okay.
Yeah, I would say that's probably frowned upon.
Sounds fun, but when you're a flight attendant.
Oh.
And you're supposed to be delivering meals to passengers.
Oh, wow.
Then that turns into an issue. Yeah, British Airways cabin crew member. He's 41. Drugs could have been involved. Okay. However, he was discovered dancing naked in a business class toilet during a flight from San Francisco to London. That's a long flight.
Oh, boy. Oh, maybe he was nervous. Maybe he was new on the job.
He was nervous.
And was just trying to handle the nerves.
Yeah, maybe. I guess they were like, hey, they started to wonder where he was because he's like supposed to be, you know, serving meals to people, right? And then, and then they found him there in the bathroom without any clothes on. So,
hey, buddy.
Yeah. Hey,
what's going on?
Hey. So they had, there happened to be a spare first class, seat. So they put him in some jammies.
Oh, okay. which good. I'm glad they had some jammies on board.
Yeah, I was going to say they have some jammies on board. So they put him in some jammies and strapped him in, buckled him into that first class seat for the remainder of the 10 and a half hour flight.
Oh my goodness.
Could you imagine being the person next to this guy?
No. Oh, no, no, no.
You're like, can I move to?
I'm going to need a voucher.
even though it's a first class ticket, which is nice, you know, but still.
You're next to a crazy person, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously,
he was
under the influence of some stuff there. So
he probably figured out this was not the job for him.
Well, yeah. So he was taken first to a hospital to get checked out, then got arrested on suspicion of being unfit for duty. Now, apparently, there is some audio from the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Just a quick reminder that our flight crew is here for your safety, not naked interpretive dance in the loo. Mm. If you happen to see one of our flight attendants tripping balls and flailing with tatas akimbo, thinking she's auditioning for So You Think You Can Dance, please remain seated and notify the rest of the crew.
Okay, all right.
Got
so
it.
That may or may Got not it. Have actually been on the plane, but
I don't think that was the actual flight audio. Maybe a simulation.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's your Setting the Bar Story. If you can manage to make it through the day without taking off all your clothes, dancing when you're supposed to be working, then you're doing okay.
In the loo.
In the loo.
In the loo.
Then you're doing okay. That's yours. Right. Setting the Bar Story. What show are you currently binging right now? It's 99.7 DJX. I just saw the trailer for Happy Gilmore 2. Over the weekend with Adam Sandler and a bunch of cameos there. That looks kind of funny. But like show wise, wife and I got into some on Netflix. Kelly, I don't know if you've been seeing anything recently.
No, we haven't been into anything. We haven't had time. But we're always looking for suggestions.
Yeah, so started with, and I didn't know that this was like a remake of an original, and sometimes that happens, but I just saw Steve Carell, Tina Fey, and I was like, all right, that Will Forte's in it, and I was like, all right, that probably is funny. It's called The Four Seasons, and it's on Netflix, and it's about basically four couples who come together every single year for a vacation.
We've been friends for 30 years.
I love all of you, plus...
Please do not talk about your other hotter friend group. It hurts my feelings.
I know, but that's so hot.
Are you guys happy?
What kind of question is that? Come on.
We sit in the same room, monitoring different screens. We're like coworkers at a nuclear facility.
Yeah, so Steve Carell, in episode one, I mean, he this isn't really, I'm not giving any spoilers because it's pretty known. But in episode one, like, he starts talking about, hey, I'm gonna leave my wife. So he tells his friends who are all up on this like vacation together. They're all together. And,
oh no, this is going to ruin things.
And he's like, yep, I'm not happy. You know, we've been married 30 years. You know, kids are out of the house now. I
don't want to stick around anymore.
And literally, you know, it looks like the episode one ends and it looks like it's going to be great. Like and they are literally celebrating their anniversary. While they're all on vacation together.
And he wants to end it.
And she does this elaborate, like, renew their vows.
Oh, no.
It's at the end of episode one.
No.
Steve Carell has like a tear and you can see love and you're thinking, oh my gosh.
He's changed his mind.
Yeah, he's changed his mind. They're turning it around, and then episode two starts, and there's a new woman. and so this is, I guess, a remake of an older like show that was back, I don't know, in the 70s maybe, but the four seasons. So currently, into that, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like I said, Tina Fey's in it. She's funny. Will Forte from Saturday Night Live. He's funny. Steve Carell, obviously, he plays a little bit more of instead of the buffoon that he normally plays, he's got a little bit more of a serious character that has funniness around him. So
more of like the Crazy Stupid Love kind of character.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Anyways, four seasons. We've been binging that, and then just started watching Sirens. And the only reason it was because Netflix got us when we opened it, and it was like number one currently in the United States.
Well, if everyone and we were like, watching it, oh, we should probably.
All right. Well, I don't know anything about it, and my wife was like, I don't know anything about it either. We're like, all right. Well, let's just check it out. You know. So Julianne Moore is in it. She is kind of a super, super, super rich elite. A lady, right? And she's got an assistant. And really, the show is more about the assistant and her sister and this Labor Day weekend that happens. And the sister basically travels from Buffalo because their dad is, having dementia issues. And so, the sister has basically vanished, to be this assistant for Julianne Moore, right? And she...
Julianne Moore, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so she's kind of wrapped in this world of the elite and like the ultra, uber, uber rich, right? And so maybe they live on, you know, think like a Martha's Vineyard or, you know, some sort of...
The Hamptons, something like that.
Right, exactly. So think about that. Like, this, it's an estate. It's a huge, huge estate, and she's an assistant for Julianne Moore.
Anxiety, keep on trying me.
Listen up, everyone. It is Labor Day weekend.
That's the sister.
The Kells are entertaining every day. All details flow through me.
Yeah, and so she's kind of like this person's right hand. Julianne Moore's like right hand person, right? And she's like the assistant. And then this sister, the sister from Buffalo, New York, you know, she's definitely a fish out of water up here, right?
Okay.
She basically just finds her and says, "Hey, look." Unread messages, unread texts, unanswered phone calls. I'm trying to get help for our dad. Where are you?
There's a transient person at the house asking for you. She's carrying hot garbage. She says she's your sister.
No. Yeah, and it is absolutely wild. We are only into episode three, but one of the brothers or one of the dudes in Always Sunny in Philadelphia is starring in it. Kevin Bacon's in it as well. And it's a wild show. So those are just a couple shows. Yeah, a couple shows that I've been binging here on Netflix. Yeah, Sirens, and then the Four Seasons.
And once you start, can you just like plow right through, or do you have to like wait?
No, I mean, wait. So like you, it's like I don't necessarily have time to just sit and just watch them all. Uh-huh. But the good news is all the episodes are right there. It's not like you don't have to sit there and wait for another episode to come out in a week or something like that.
And when we have like a block of time, like we need to get some work done. Yeah, just plow through several episodes.
Right. So the Four Seasons and Sirens, those are the two that I've been diving into. And yeah, they're kind of wild. All right. Coming up later this hour, we're going to get into group therapy where, you know, she is having an issue because he loves something. She just thinks he's terrible at it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all on the way. Hang on. How about a little group therapy?
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hey, Ben and Kelly, really need your advice on something that's turning into, well, a well-seasoned problem.
A well-seasoned problem.
My boyfriend loves to cook. And I mean loves.
Okay.
He insists on making dinner most nights.
Mm-hmm.
He brags to our friends about the amazing romantic meals he makes for me.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, his signature dish tastes like a salt lick met a tire fire.
Wow.
I'm talking overcooked, oversalted, somehow still underwhelming.
Oh, wow.
I've tried to be supportive. Heck, I've even given him cooking lessons as a fun couple's gift.
Mm-hmm.
But he just laughed it off and said, why would I need that? I'm already a great cook. He genuinely enjoys doing it, and I appreciate the effort. I really do. But my taste buds and my stomach are begging for mercy.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to hurt his feelings or seem ungrateful because his heart really is in the right place. But
sure.
How do I gently let him know that his food isn't exactly Michelin star material?
Uh-huh.
Without him sulking or getting defensive?
Uh-huh.
So please help me find a way to spice up this conversation without making things awkward at the dinner table. Thanks so much.
I mean, you could say, are you following a recipe? Are you, like, literally, did you veer off the recipe?
Oh, I mean,
that's a little harsh. That sounded a little
really harsh.
Yeah, that sounded a little more harsh coming out of my mouth. But like recipes, they're printed, they're posted.
Yes.
And now online, especially, you can see stars and you can see how many people rate it. And as long as you follow the recipe.
In theory.
You should be able to do it right.
In theory.
What do you mean in theory? Oh, okay. Well, sorry. Kelly, this is, I'm sure, a little triggering for you.
Listen,
of course, you don't love to cook.
I don't love to cook. My husband is much better at it. That's kind of the arrangement we have. I'm much better at cleaning up.
Okay.
Much better at that.
All right.
I know my place.
Sure.
But see, this is a different situation because he loves it. He thinks he's Gordon Ramsay. And apparently, he's not. And so how do we gently... Okay, so I like the idea. What if he is following recipes?
Yeah.
He's just not...
And so he must be... If he's following recipes, he must be doing something... He must be adding his own flair. Or
maybe
he's not following the directions. It's like if you could start with doing something easy and say, hey, let us both cook, you know, bake some cookies or something like that.
Yes.
And then go through and say, I saw this recipe online. I really want to try. Will you help me with it? And literally go through... Step by step, measure everything out the way it's supposed to be.
Help him. And
I don't know, show him that if you do it how it's supposed to be done, then it turns out great and be like, oh yes, this is great.
Yes. Maybe we do, I feel like it's hard to mess up pasta, right? Why don't we do like pasta dishes?
Yeah,
it's
I don't know. She didn't really say what his signature dish was, only that it was oversalted and it tasted like a tire fire. So
yeah, which to me, if that's like a steak or a meat kind of dish, it sounds like. So maybe we get in the pasta lane a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
But I think maybe we do need to help. Let's then just kind of pose it as in this, you see how much he loves it, and you just want to jump in on something that he loves so much. You can do it together.
Yeah, I love how she said that she gave him one of those like cooking classes.
Yes.
And he's like, he scoffed at it.
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that?
I could teach the class. Yeah, if they want me to be a guest teacher.
Could you? Okay. All right. So I'm sure everybody has dealt with a situation. Maybe it's not cooking, but where, you know, you've got to tell your partner that they're just not great at something. Or you encourage them in some other way. How do you do it? What are the words you say to make them not discourage them necessarily, but to at least, you know, correct them in a way? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
502-795-1997. Would love to hear your stories coming up next on 997DJX. It's group therapy. Cindy, our listener's boyfriend, loves to cook. He's just terrible at cooking. And she's like, he's not getting the hints. I'm trying to like give him cooking classes. He's like, why would I need those? I'm great.
Because I'm amazing.
I'm great.
Yeah. So, and when he is in that mindset, how do you let him know that he's like nowhere near being great?
Yeah. Teresa says that's a hard one. Cooking and giving others your food is very personal and kind of vulnerable, right?
It's like art.
Yeah. It might have to be a compliment sandwich sort of thing. Ooh, I like that. Compliment sandwich. We're like, you know what? This is a great meal. The water with the slice of lemon. Perfect. You did that great.
Wow. Okay.
The chicken a little more done than I like. And then, you know, the dessert, the ice cream that you bought was fantastic. It's my favorite flavor.
The way you scooped it.
The dish
was fantastic. It's perfect. It looks amazing. John says you need to make him the signature dish, and absolutely kill it. So he realizes his isn't that good. You get one shot. It could backfire miserably if you fail.
So make his signature dish.
Yes.
So like, go, you know what?
You've
been doing it all this time. I just wanted to crack at it.
Well, and we need to know, is the signature dish something he completely made up, or is it a recipe that he was trying to follow, but just as bad at it?
Is it like grandma's recipe that he's just butchered over the years?
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
We need to figure that out.
We did get a DM from a listener. Hey, Ben and Kelly, had to message you after hearing you talk about how to tell your partner they're no good at something, like Cindy and her man's tragic cooking.
Uh-huh.
When my husband and I first got together, our issue wasn't food. It was in the bedroom. Go on.
Go on.
She says, let's just say we weren't exactly in sync.
Okay.
But instead of hurting his feelings, I started gently steering things, telling him what I liked, what I didn't, and encouraging him when things went well. Positive reinforcement. It wasn't overnight, but now 10 out of 10, no complaints.
Okay, great.
So she says, I say to Cindy, if I can guide my guy in that department, you can totally help yours improve in the kitchen. Just make it fun, be kind, and maybe suggest cooking together, a glass of wine, and a recipe that can go a long way. Thanks for always making my mornings better. A happily well-fed wife.
That's good news for her. I like that.
Yeah,
I think she's going to have to guide him. She's going to have to jump in on his love of cooking, and she's going to have to, like, you know, position it that she wants to, you know, join in and do something together and how amazing that's going to be. And maybe he could, quote, teach her. And then she's really actually teaching.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. So, hey, good luck. Hey, the positive thing is your boyfriend doesn't sound like a dirtbag. Doesn't sound like he's cheating.
He wants to do something. He thinks it really makes you happy, and he likes it. It's kind of like an act of service, and that's the way he shows you his love. And yeah, so let's just nurture that and steer it in a more tasty direction.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, good luck. Keep us posted. That is group therapy. Time to play a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's introduce you to Abby, calling us from the U of L area. Hi there, Abby.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Abby's got... Love it. Abby's got blonde hair, but is thinking about going back to pink, so that's kind of fun.
Oh.
Is 5'4" and is a professional maid. So do you like the attention you get when you have different color hair?
You know what? I don't know about that, but all of my friends have said that it's impossible to lose me in a crowd. So I do like that, because I wander off sometimes. You know,
that's
they gotta
handy.
Combine.
You wander off sometimes. You're like, ooh, shiny object. What's going on there?
That's exactly it. Yeah, squirrel brain.
It's funny, like our afternoon person, Emily, she has bright blue hair. on 99.7 Eject. And
it's hard to miss her, too.
Yeah, and she talks about the fact that, people are like, they see her from a mile away. So
yep.
I understand.
That's exactly it. Yeah, my friends see the pink space buns, and they're like, we found her.
That's great.
There she is. There's Abby. All right, Abby, it's little kid, drunk adult. Kelly's going to explain how the game works.
Yep, you get three stories. You have to determine, is a star of each story a little kid or a drunk adult at the time?
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here you go. Here's the first one.
I got caught stealing a blue raspberry Slurpee by putting it in my pants.
Oh. I mean,
I wonder if that was successful.
Slurpee in the pants. All right, was he a little kid
Slurpee
or a drunk
in
adult?
The pants.
Yeah.
It pains me to say, but I feel like it's drunk adult.
Drunk adult? Okay.
I feel like drunk adult as well, just because, I mean, the Slurpees are big cups. And
sure.
I'm not sure if they would fit, logistically speaking, in little kid's pants.
All right.
Maybe.
All right, so both of you saying little kid.
No, drunk adult.
Drunk adult.
We're saying drunk adult.
All right, sorry. Again, squirrel brain, I just heard the little kid as the last thing, and that's what I assumed. All right.
We'll let it go.
Thank you. All right, so you both saying drunk adult.
Yes.
I was actually a little kid.
Oh.
That was a trick one. That's fair.
That was a trick one, she says.
Dang it.
My friends dared me.
All right, I'm warmed up.
I steal Slurpee. I put it in the front of my pants, and I was caught immediately. The whole thing was on security camera. My only hope is that it does not exist to this day.
Great. All right. Well, when your friends double dog dare you.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right, Abby. All right, Abby, you're 0 for 1, but you are warmed up. Here we go.
Yes.
Next one, little
all
kid,
right,
drunk adult.
I got detained by the police because I was jump roping naked on the side of the road.
Okay.
Jump roping naked on the side of the road, detained by police.
It sounded like a guy, too, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I hope drunk adult.
You hope?
It's worse if it's a drunk adult, though. It's worse. If it's a kid.
I don't know. They're both bad, for real.
They are both bad. Side of the road. Why are we... Well, okay,
I mean...
So.
Okay, all right.
I'm going with drunk adult.
All right,
too.
So you're both saying drunk adult. All right,
yes.
Drunk adult. Yeah. All right.
Believe it or not, I was a drunk adult.
Okay.
Drunk.
All right. Okay.
Adult.
All right. I thought he was about to hit me with a little kid.
I know.
I was drinking like I did back in my college days. I don't know how it happened. I started jump roping in the street, stark naked. Didn't get arrested, though. The cop who saw me there, he knew me, he knew my dad, and he drove me home.
Oh, wow.
He knew his dad.
Helps,
oh, God.
Helps to know people, right? Helps to know people.
Hey, I saw
helps
Steve.
To know people. He was going through some stuff.
Yeah, something. I don't know. If I'm driving and I drive past someone who's jump roping naked, I think I'm just letting them be. I'm just keeping
well,
on my...
I'm minding my business.
Yeah, minding my business. That's
kind
right.
Of impressive, a little bit, right?
All right. Let's not think of the logistics there, Kelly.
Let's not.
All right. Last one. Last one, Abby. Little kid, drunk adult.
I took a huge bite out of a cactus plant.
Why are we biting a cactus plant? That doesn't look tasty at any age.
I think just to say she could.
Right.
The first one was a little kid. The second one was drunk. I'm going odds here. I'm going to say drunk adult.
Drunk again. Adult. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because cactuses have visible pointy things.
Yes, visible pointy things.
How do you not calculate that in your brain? Like, that's going to be ouchy,
Sure. All right, Kelly, we're going to need an answer.
Drunk adult.
All right, Kelly says drunk adult. Abby, you said drunk adult too, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Is it a drunk adult?
I was a little kid.
Dang it!
Little kid eating cactus.
Why?
I was curious to see what it felt like, and it was awful. Had to go to the hospital. I can't even look at cactus plants still to this day. It's worse than getting your wisdom teeth taken out.
Okay, she just decided to try.
We didn't get a good why in that.
We didn't get a good why.
We just understood. Yes, ouchie.
Abby, 1 out of 3 is typically a failing grade. However, for participating. We will hook you up. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I did my best.
You did your best.
Listen, that was difficult. This game is difficult.
That's right.
Abby.
It is.
Congratulations. Thank you for hanging out with us. And I'm going to put you on hold another quick sec. We're going to get a little bit more information from you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, hang on.
Valuable life lessons learned here.
Let's not
jump rope on the side of the road naked. Let's not eat cactuses.
Right.
What in the world?
All right, little kid, drunk adult, the real star is the story. And so we need more of those, all right?
If you got one you think fits the bill for this, give us a little teaser, reveal the answer, finish the story, email at benandkellyshow@gmail.com.
With a feel good, do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly K.
So 28-year-old British daredevil Ryan Looney broke a Guinness World Record performing 7 backflips in 30 seconds.
Oh.
And you might be thinking, okay, that sounds kind of impressive, but also, like, not super out there.
Right, exactly.
Well, he did it when he was on fire.
Oh.
I was freezing. I am wearing a couple of layers that are soaked in a gel and put in a fridge for 24 hours. So it helped protect me from the fire. So that's me. I'm on fire. So we're 7 seconds in and I've done 2 backflips. So I'm on good track to beat the previous record. And I need to move quickly. The oxygen's burning up around me. If I don't keep moving, I could find it very difficult to breathe and find the heat a bit too overwhelming. There are parts that are actually falling off what I'm wearing and burning.
My successful record total was 7 backflips in 30 seconds while engaging in a full body burn. It's incredible what humans can achieve.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that insane? And you heard him, he was freezing.
Yeah.
Because of all the prep that he had to do and the protective gear.
Yes.
And, like, to be frozen. And so, yeah, he was, like, cold but on fire. And just kind of an amazing feat when you think about it. And then he kind of started doing a deep dive into, like, full body burn records. And he's all like, I think maybe I can do some more. So now he's going to look at other ways he can set records while on fire. So, yeah, kind of crazy. You can see the video. It's a wild screenshot.
Okay.
For the thumbnail of the video, see it at WDJX.com. Brought to you by Bell of Louisville.
I'm going to play something. I don't want it to trigger you.
Dang it, stop it. No, stop. Are you in my backyard?
Are you getting cicadas pretty hard in your neighborhood?
Oh, Lord, I feel like they're all living in our backyard.
Like, remember last year when the 17-year cicadas were in the news? And, like, we really didn't get it that bad in the Louisville area. And so when they were like, the 17-year cicadas come back this year, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, I've heard this before, whatever.
Yeah, no, they're here. They're here. And eat your face.
They are everywhere.
They are everywhere. And they're little, like, shells.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're all in the yard. And the dogs are
eating them? Yeah. So it was funny because at my daughter's state track meet a couple weeks ago, she's there at the line getting ready to run her 800, and I've got the camera on her, and I see her all of a sudden jump out and like do a little dance and run around. And later I ask her, I was like, what happened? I was like, was there a bug? She was like, it was cicadas. There was this tree that was by the track, and the states were over there at Eastern. So, any of you who know the area, there's this big tree there, and she was just like, there were cicadas all swarming this tree and everything.
Not today, Satan.
Oh, my gosh. Those things are so ugly.
Oh, they're so ugly. And just, I mean, that's the stuff that nightmares are made of in horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's crazy. Like, if you're driving on, the highway on like 64 or whatever, you can hear them. It's like a drone. You can hear them out of your window. And then you can even see, if you look at the tree line, you can see those suckers flying around.
No, sir. Nope. When are they done? When are they out of here? I read like at the end of the month, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they don't last that long. They basically, they stay in the ground for 17 years. They come up, they mate, and they die.
This is such a tragic existence when you think about it. I mean, you live in the ground for 17 years, and you finally are just like, what is this?
And you finally emerge, and you're like, they're still working on the Gene Snyder? My goodness! Been to the ground 17 years! Still haven't fixed it! Anyways, hopefully the cicadas aren't crazy in your area, but man.
They finally find their person, like, I love you. Let's have a family, and then,
then I'm done.
They die. Yep, I'm done. Tragic.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a lot worse this year than it ever was even last year. So
it's much.
Yeah. Coming up next, our listener Laura, she is divorced. She's 35 and she's dating. However, it's the kids that are like,
That can be tricky. Yeah. It's not just like you that you have to consider.
Yeah. But it is you that you have to consider.
Right, like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird dance around this whole thing. So,
yes.
Anyways, we got a DM from Laura. I want to jump into that coming up next. 99.70JX. You can always get a hold of us at Ben and Kelly Show. You know, slide into our DMs. Ask us questions. Tell us our hair looks pretty, that we smell good, that we're wearing a great outfit, that it matches the color of our eyes.
Okay, wow. Fishing for compliments.
I mean, I'm just saying, if it's, you know, on the top of your head. Or you could just send us a message like Laura did.
Yeah, she says, hey, Ben and Kelly, first of all, I love your show. Try to listen every morning.
Thank you.
I'm hoping you can help me, or at least open this up to your listeners who may have been through something similar.
Okay.
I'm a 35-year-old mom of two, recently divorced about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing someone new for several months now. He's truly wonderful, not just to me, but also in the way he treats my kids.
Okay.
He's respectful to their boundaries, doesn't try to act like their dad, mm-hmm. genuinely tries to connect with them, but they're just not having it.
Mm.
They're polite, but they're distant.
Mm.
Now, I can tell they're keeping him at arm's length. I suspect they feel like liking him or accepting him would somehow be a betrayal of their dad. I've never tried to force the relationship, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't hurt a little for me and for the amazing guy I'm with, who's really trying to be patient and understanding.
Oh.
I know this is a super common situation for divorced parents, and I totally get that these things take time. Eesh. I'm not trying to rush anything, but I'm wondering if anyone out there has any advice or success stories to share. How do I help my kids understand that it's okay to care about someone new without it meaning they love their dad any less? Thanks for any insight you can offer. And I don't know the ages of the kids.
Oh, the kids?
Which I feel like could matter.
Well, so it sounds like, or at least, we don't know this, how they or the reason they got divorced.
Right.
Do the kids know that someone cheated?
Well, we don't know that at all.
Or yeah, exactly.
Like, ultimate decision it was to get divorced.
Right,
if it
right.
was mutual,
so,
if
well,
it wasn't.
My whole point was if it was on Laura, our listener, who was like, hey, I'm divorcing your father, there could be some resentment there from the kids, regardless of the reason why. Maybe they don't know the reason why, but they see it as, okay, mom broke this up, so they're going to be a little bit harder on her when she tries to date someone new. Does that make sense?
I don't think that's the case here, because I think she would have mentioned if there were a dynamic like that at play here, but
maybe.
It just sounds like they just got divorced, and it's hard on kids because they still want mom and dad together. So if either one of the parents or both start seeing someone new, it's gonna be weird for the kids, because then they're like, well, I don't want the other parent to think that I'm like taking sides or like them better than you, anything like that.
Sure. Hey, if you're Laura's kids and you're listening right now, take it from someone whose parents were divorced. I thought, like you, dang, this stinks. Want my parents to be together. But then now, years later, looking back, going, man, I could not see how they worked as long as they did is beyond me. And they're much better apart than they were together.
Okay.
So it's probably for the best that your parents are not together anymore. The good news is that you're a product of all that. So yeah.
And your parents' focus are going to be on loving you guys.
Yeah.
Period. Like, that's never going to change. But the thing is, the timeline, I think, here, they've been divorced about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been dating this person for a couple
several months. Yeah.
It can, from, you know, what we've heard on this show before with people in this situation, that can be like a really long time, I think, before.
Yeah, divorce can be that's a long
Yeah, like this is like a long
process.
Game.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, and while I appreciate that she's really excited about this new relationship and all this kind of stuff, the fact that she's already introduced the kids just a couple of months in, some might think, well, that's pretty early. So I think she's just going to have to be, I know she doesn't want to hear this, she's going to have to be more patient and just, you know, as time goes on and the kids learn, you know, to adjust, they still may be adjusting to the whole divorce situation, even though it's been a year.
Right.
I think it's going to take more time to figure out, all right, how do we bring another person in without it feeling like it's intruding on our love for our parents?
502-795-1997. If you've dealt with this, you've think maybe you've figured it out or have a good suggestion, let us know. 502-795-1997. Laura, our listener, has an issue with her kids trying to get on board with her new boyfriend. She's been divorced for about a year and has been trying to date here for the past couple months. Kids just aren't on board with it yet. And she's like, "Is there any? Are there any tricks to getting on board?"
Diane says on text, regarding the lady who's dating and her kids aren't on board, don't push back. Give it time. When I first started dating my husband, it took his son a year before he'd talk to me directly or even say my name. And now we're pretty tight. So hang in there. Also, one more bit of advice. It could be that she introduced them a little early. My husband and I dated for 4 months before I was introduced to his kids. And only then was I introduced just as a friend of his. We eased them into the relationship, though, slowly.
Mm. Okay.
So, yes, I think we should have pumped the brakes a little bit. But now that we're kind of on board with this.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever. It's water under the bridge now.
Yes. But I think maybe we do just give them lots of time and maybe just don't bring them around as much. And just try to kind of establish your relationship on solid ground before you try to incorporate the kids anymore.
Yeah, Tammy messaged us and says, I was in the same exact boat a couple years ago. Two kids from my first marriage started dating my now husband. It was really hard for my kids to accept him at first. Here's what helped me. Patience. As much as I wanted everyone to be a big, happy, blended family right away, had to accept that my timeline wasn't theirs. And one-on-one time, my husband started doing little things with the kids that didn't involve me. My now husband started doing little things with the kids that didn't involve me, like grabbing ice cream with just the son or going to the bookstore with my daughter. And that helped them bond without feeling like I was watching or pushing it. So, all right.
Yes, but I think we do just kind of take a step back, because I think it's going to feel like she's forcing it this time if they're resistant at this point.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know,
all right,
you guys do your own thing in your relationship. Try to keep it separate. And then as time goes on and he's still a part of your life and it looks like he's going to be for a while, then slowly start to get them, you know, more on board. I think these are great ideas. You can maybe start to spend some time with them, but when it feels appropriate.
All right, Laura, good luck. Keep us posted. And let us know what happens. From time to time, we do stupid facts of the day. You may think I'm stretching on this one, and I may be.
You're stretching on all of these, sir.
I'm not stretching on all of them. Some of them are facts that are stupid.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying we may have another extinction in our lives.
Oh.
There may be another thing going extinct. That is the semicolon.
The semicolon. Okay, so we might have to send that off to pasture because nobody's using it?
Well, they're half as common as they were 20 years ago. I think in part to nobody knows when to actually use the semicolon.
It's a little difficult to know. Remember the rules.
It's like it's the colon that has the comma underneath. So
right.
It's the period with the comma underneath the period.
Yes. And then how is that different than the colon? Like, they're close cousins.
Well, but so, I don't see it as a cousin to the colon. Even though it says it in its name, I see it more a cousin and akin to the period. It's like between the period and the comma. When a period doesn't work, but a comma seems to casual.
Too casual? It's more formal?
Then you do the semicolon. When the comma's too casual, but the period's too abrupt, it's a semicolon day.
I thought that the semicolon was used in front of, like, lists of things.
No.
Oh, you're just shutting that down? No?
No.
Okay, why don't we turn to Google? What do you use a semicolon for?
Even reading the definition for that, it still makes no sense. It says it's connected, related to independent clauses, replacing coordinating conjunctions, and dividing complex lists.
Oh, okay, lists. Okay, so complex lists. That is also a thing. You
okay.
You can't just shut me down completely.
All right, I apologize. Maybe it is used in lists, too. I've just never used them in lists, so.
Okay.
But yeah, and it's always funny because I'll use the semicolon every now and then, like thinking that I know.
Yeah, because you're feeling fancy.
Because I'm feeling fancy.
Yeah.
And also to send a message to whoever I'm sending it to, like, I am of intellectual superiority.
And don't question this. I know I'm using this correctly.
like, you know, I just throw the semicolon in because someone sees it. They're like, wow, I'm impressed. He's using a semicolon. Okay.
Uh-huh. Like maybe. Okay. So their example is, I need to buy apples, oranges, and bananas, semicolon. Cherries, grapes, and peaches, semicolon. And strawberries, blueberries, and raspberries.
Okay.
So it's, I guess if you have a long list,
you can throw
in a couple semicolons.
Just to break it up?
Just to break it up. Because like if you say you do like three things, the first two and then and something, semicolon.
Right.
Something, something, and something, semicolon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I thought when you said for lists, like when you're kicking off a list, like, hey, the following are things not to bring to the beach, colon. You know?
Yeah. No, that's colon. Yes.
Right. Not a semicolon.
Right.
That's what I thought you were referring to.
But like in a sentence, if you're kind of listing that.
Yeah, and like I said, I only use it casually, and when I think I know how to use it.
Uh-huh.
And it's really to just
ever
send...
called you out?
No. And it's really just to send the message that I'm smart.
I'm throwing around my big brain right now.
I'm throwing around my big brain.
When in reality...
It may not even be right.
I love the fact that you're admitting that there is sometimes subconsciously you're on purpose trying to use it and throw it out
right.
for that purpose of showing a big brain.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, look at the big brain on Ben.
Yeah, I've never like given it that much thought.
Well, that's the difference between you and me.
Okay. Got it.
All right, so stupid fact, the semicolon may be dying a slow and miserable death.
So wait, because is this a plea to start using it more so that it doesn't go away? Or are we launching a campaign to save the semicolon?
I don't know. I don't know. It may be one of those things 50 years from now, we look back on and go, I remember when we used to use this.
Semicolons.
Yep.
And no one knew how to use it, so we stopped using it. And that's how we fix problems in grammar.
And everybody's triggered by the ellipsis and, you know, the world is a better place.
Well, listen, we're eradicating cursing. That's already been a thing.
So, your stupid fact.
Save the semicolon.
A stupid fact of the day, semicolons could be going extinct. And see, look, we only got one text from a listener who loves the semicolon. So, you know, again, highlighting the fact that it's probably going extinct.
I know. Brooke, listen, you can start your
campaign. You hang on to it, Brooke.
Head up the club and say, listen, this is America for semicolons and take up the charge and I'll give you a dollar.
Okay. Kelly's tossing a dollar. All right.
Semicolon.
So there you go. That's your stupid fact on 99.7 DJX. Coming up this hour, feel good stories. And then when you get in trouble, it's probably best to know that the person you're throwing under the bus isn't also in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Okay. That's your setting the bar story coming up. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly Kay.
Well, some cops in New Jersey ended up rescuing a 2-year-old who climbed onto a luggage belt at the Newark airport. So the kid went down a chute at the end of the belt.
Wow.
Yeah, wee. But two cops happened to be walking by when the call came in, jumped into action. One of them was able to actually grab him before he went through the x-ray machine.
Mm.
Luckily, he was fine. Here's the president of the Port Authority Police Union, Frank, talking about the rescue.
Something that happened in the blink of an eye. There was a split in the belts. One officer went toward one direction, one went toward the other direction. One of them was able to observe the child. As the child was approaching one of the x-ray units.
Yeah, and fortunately, like you said, you know, this can happen in the blink of an eye. Mom was at the ticket counter and, you know, 2 year old is just like, ooh, that looks fun. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those kind of situations. So fortunately, they were able to get them in time and, it's all good. You can see the story at WDJX.com, brought to you by Sam Aggie, our injury lawyers.
It's Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. All right, it's time for a Setting the Bar story. Kelly, this is...
an example of what not to do.
Yeah, if you can manage to make it through the day without pretending to be your sister when you get arrested, only to find out your sister also has a warrant out for her arrest, too, you're doing okay.
Oh, that sounds like twin shenanigans.
I don't know if they were twins, honestly. I know they were sisters, but Kenda is this lady in Pennsylvania. She tried to be her sister when she was arrested, but then... that didn't really work because there was a warrant for her sister, too.
OMG. What are these sisters doing? What are parents doing?
Yeah, well, these sisters are not doing a lot of things good. No.
Okay.
So now Kenda is being detained under her proper name. And by the way, they're still looking for the sis. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, so this is just not going well for this family in general.
No. It's like the sister was like, oh, no, you have the wrong person. I'm this person. And so they run her name, and they're like, yeah, you know what?
You're in trouble, too.
You're in trouble, too. Yeah, you still need to come with us.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good little Setting the Bar story. You know, if you're going to throw someone under the bus, probably better make sure that they're not in as much trouble as you are when you try to get off.
And again, mom, dad, we probably need to have a talk with your girls.
Yeah.
Because they're making some bad life choices, apparently.
Apparently, they are. There you go. That's your Setting the Bar story. Just a quick one here this morning on 99.7 DJX. We are in full summer mode now.
Yeah, it's wild. Isn't it wild?
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, here we go. It's summer.
Yeah, so hey, if you're hearing us now, congratulations. You are one of the few. You know, typically there's a summer break when people are out of the routine of taking their kids and riding the bus and all that stuff. And
we've noticed people are sleeping in today.
And you know what?
Participation level is a little lower.
That's fine. That happens.
Yeah.
We power through. We'll be here in August, too.
Listen, I'd be sleeping through our show if I got a summer break, too. I would. Full transparency, I would.
Sometimes people, accuse you of doing that anyway. So,
I mean, that is true. Sometimes that is, although I'm patting myself on the back for paying attention most of the time today.
Yeah, you had a late night last night, right?
Yes, we rolled in last night. It was a big long trip. Knoxville's 3.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
We had lots of basketball. We rolled in like Friday night at 11:45 at night and then didn't get to bed till like 2 a.m. the last couple of nights. And then rolled in last night, got to bed about 10:45. So,
yeah, that can be some late nights for sure. There you go. All right. Well kudos. There's a sucker and a sticker for you. So congrats.
Thank you. I think I only dozed off during a couple songs.
If you missed anything from the show, which could be a lot, could be a few, you can always catch up on the podcast, WDGX.com, tap listen. What else, Kelly?
Ariana Grande apparently is going to be in, first of all, they're doing Meet the Fockers 4. B, Ariana Grande is going to be in it. Like,
you know,
things I found out today.
She had expressed interest in doing comedies, and I think it was after the Wicked.
Well, because don't forget about her background in Sam and Cat. Like, comedic little sitcom that she kind of got her start even before she became a big pop star.
Yeah,
she kind of has her roots doing that. So this is kind of
right
up her alley.
Bug.
And she was very funny in Wicked.
Oh, my gosh. She's
very
hysterical. Yes.
Yeah. So she's going to be playing the, they could say, quote, ball-busting fiance of Greg and Pam's son.
Oh, wow.
So Greg being Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool.
So it should be fun.
So check that out, WDJX.com. All right, guys. That'll do it for us. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.